Welcome, one another couples, to another One Another Marriage podcast. This is Dr. David and Teresa Mabry, and we are so glad that you've joined us for this podcast, which is meant to strengthen marriages so that they can have greater fulfillment and impact on the world around them. So that's why we're here, right?
Right.
Hi, all Teresa.
Right. Hi, David.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Great.
How are you? Great. So today we are bringing you an episode about FOOIE. And FOOIE is F-O-O-I-E, which means Family of Origin Impacts Everything. That acronym is not one that David and I made up or are responsible for, so please do not give credit to us. But FOOIE, we are going to be just giving you some of our insights from our own families of origin, from our own marriage, and how we've seen those families, family of origins impacted in our marriage, as well as just with all of the couples that we've spoken to or coached or discussed this with over the years, some just insight and maybe revelations for some of you. I don't know.
Yeah. And so hang tight even to the very end, because we'll have some practical suggestions, right?
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. But we're touching base here just to start off, like we do every podcast. We want to touch base with one another, like every healthy couple should do. And that is on in significant and clear ways and deeper level and everything. For us, our touching base must include a shout out to a wonderful group of people that we were able to spend time with last week. They are a group of pastors and spouses that Teresa and I spoke at their conference, their annual conference.
Right.
In Colorado, beautiful Colorado. And
woo-hoo.
So a shout out to, and the full name is Mid-America Yearly Meeting Pastors and of the Evangelical Friends Church. And so
that is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
It is.
Teresa and I love ministry couples.
Yes.
We just love, because these are folks that are sacrificing so much to help others and to pour into others. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about even what's called compassion fatigue and so what it means to even burn out in helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, for that matter, we know that we have couples that are ministry couples that are listening, social work couples, first responders, those in the medical field that are couples. So many of those across the board, we know that pastoral couples, ministry couples have a kind of a special place in our heart. But also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention and shout out to the many couples that are listening to us. You're in a helping industry, and it's easy to get burnout and give, and it affects your marriage relationship. So
absolutely. Well, yes, it does affect it. And too many may not put up the healthy boundaries in place, which then in turn affects the marriage and family even to a greater extent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we had a wonderful time.
Oh, beautiful.
Being
Colorado
with these people. Yes. And then we tacked on just a couple of days on the front and the back to just hang out in Colorado, because it's been years since I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You were there more recently.
That's right.
In the last few years with our son, Alex. But yeah, what a great time.
And one of my favorite places in the world. And maybe it's an out west thing, but Colorado is kind of the state that that is my out west.
You have always
dream.
Had this like fixation with Colorado.
No, I love. Hey, folks, Colorado folks, we love your state, and love the mountains, and
yeah, the scenery is just beautiful.
Yeah, and so it's gorgeous. I love to be outdoors and hiking and backpacking and whatnot. So, shout out to our pastor friends that we made this last week. Hopefully you are joining us this week on the podcast by listening in. And then shout out to Colorado, for heaven's sakes. So those are a few of my favorite things.
Okay. Thank you, Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music.
When the dog bites, when the bees sting. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Keep going. No.
I could probably do that, because speaking of family of origin,
ooh,
we would watch that movie, Sound of Music, growing up every year. Well,
dude, it was like, I mean, for kids who grew up in the 70s, you and I, right? I mean, this movie was on TV. There were just a few movies mm-hmm. that came on every year, right? Yep. Wizard of Oz was mm-hmm. one of those. The Sound of Music was another one.
Yep.
And I don't know of many families that, at least friends that I had that I grew up around, I don't know of many families who had not taken time to at least watch that
every
right?
year.
But that's all that's all you ever got to see it. Hello, yeah. folks. No DVDs, no VHS tapes.
Three channels.
No, like that was it. So,
three
so when it was
on the antenna,
it was on. And hey, I didn't mind it because I did like it. Plus, it ran from like 8 o'clock to 11. Mm-hmm. So you got to stay mm-hmm. up late, you know, to watch it as well. Anyway, oh my goodness. Well,
that is a family of origin.
That is a family of origin.
That's a memory from yeah. family of origin and a tradition.
I guarantee.
Which that'll play in here.
I guarantee there are people listening to this podcast that are shouting right now going, yes, our family also watched The Sound of Music
and,
or The Wizard of Oz.
And also, honey, there are folks listening right now that are like, I've heard of that. my parents watched that.
This is true.
Like,
this is
like,
true.
Wizard of Oz, I'm aware of it, but Sound of Music, yeah, I think I know what that is. But yeah, my mom really liked it. My dad watched that. Yeah. So shout out to our young one another couples out there. We love you.
That is
funny. Love you. And we want you to go, I guess,
that is
rent or get a hold of Sound of Music or whatever. But
are you kidding? Run it. Good Lord. Just pull up whatever streaming device you use nowadays and like you'll find it. It's going to be there.
That's right.
Good
that's
Lord.
Right.
Everything is at the fingertips these days.
That's right.
Lazy,
okay.
Lazy, lazy.
Are you calling our one another couples lazy or is it we
no, I'm calling,
as a culture?
I'm calling just the whole culture. Boom.
Boom. You
there we go.
Drop the mic.
All right. We got to move on.
Calling. That's
Teresa's,
not your puzzle, though, and it's your turn to do a puzzle.
It is my turn to do a puzzle.
By the way,
I've got a good one.
By the way, the bag is still hanging in the tree outside of our our house here in the neighbor's yard.
Just it is, but listen.
We're going to keep a bag report going on.
Listen, I was going to go one direction with a puzzle, but then as we're sitting here, I'm like, you know what? No, I have another puzzle.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so David and I, a year ago, we decided that we would begin donating blood.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes.
And so we go in on a regular basis now to mm-hmm. donate blood, right? Mm-hmm. And you know how when you donate blood, sometimes they talk about how you could pass out, right? Mm-hmm. You could get lightheaded, whatever. Well, today, I went in first, right? And you were still waiting in the outside room. And then you came in and this guy was laying flat on the thing and they had like a cool compress on his head. And then my guy that's setting me up to get my arm all ready and get my vein, you know, blood pressure cuff on, all this stuff, you know, like, you know, squeeze the squeezy thing and pump it up. And he's asking this man, he's like, hey, you doing okay? How you doing? Hey, we're going to sit you up now for a little bit. And then the guy got nauseous. And so they had to lay him back down. And then I go ahead and get, you know, my needle going, right? And I'm pumping. But then this guy, what we find out, then David's getting brought in to like the extra room, right? And I'm looking at you kind of like, yeah, don't watch this guy. Cause I literally thought this man, cause my Red Cross worker had said, like, you know, if you get nauseous or if you feel like you're gonna like throw up, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to imagine what would it be like? Like, part of me was, I usually don't get sick when other people get sick, but if you're sitting there donating blood and all of a sudden the person, right? I mean, I could not look away. He was, you know, right there.
He was
in front
right
of me.
In front of you.
He was
literally laying at your feet.
He was like right there. And I'm like, what if this guy like throws up? Is that going to make me get sick? You know, I'm thinking through all this stuff. But anyway, here's my puzzle, this whole thing, right? We find out from the key leader of the team that was there. She comes back through, right? And she says, guys, we're going to have to like call the ambulance. And she, because this man had been there for an hour. He had finished donating an hour ago and he was still feeling the lightheaded, nauseous. So then they start taking his blood pressure. They start taking his heart rate. And the whole time, my pump is just going, right? I'm giving blood and my guy's oscillating between me and that. So they go ahead and call, right? I'm done. You're getting on now. And they call ambulance, fire department also shows up. We have like eight men enter the building. Okay.
Eight guys for the body that's lying there.
But it was amazing. So I had watched this man for 20 to 25 minutes, pale white. Mm-hmm. I mean, his blood pressure was so low, all this stuff. As soon as they said, sir, we're going to have to follow through and call the ambulance. You are too low. It was almost, he started to perk up, right? I mean, he started to move his arms a little bit. He started to do this. And do you know what, right? I mean, well, you saw it. Our listeners didn't see it. But I'm out there eating my Cheez-Its, right?
Yeah.
Having a good time, drinking an apple juice, everything.
Minding your own business.
Minding my own business. They come back through. Is he on the stretcher being taken out? No, he's not. What the heck happened?
It was miraculous.
Well, okay. Now, it wasn't that miraculous, but all of a sudden, though, he pulls it together.
That's all he
needed. I don't know. And then they walk out with him. And I looked at you and I said, are you kidding me? Is this guy going to drive home? How do they even know that he'll be able to get there? I mean, he was not doing well.
Well, I'll tell you, when I looked out from my little room that they had me in as they were doing the questions and whatnot, and I looked out and I just saw his arms.
They were white.
They were porcelain.
They were so white.
They were porcelain, the poor guy.
Yeah.
And so I did feel for him. I thought, but you know what else crossed my mind? I thought, no judgment zone here because that could be me. Right?
I know. I thought that too.
Like, I could be like, we usually don't have a problem. I don't have a problem giving blood. I don't get lightheaded. Right. I don't get
if
it were not for the grace of God,
I know.
Therefore, I go, right? And so
it did strike my brain too, because I thought, what would be the odds, right? That today might be the day that I mean, I've never had any type of lightheaded or fainted. I've watched, you know, well. Needles can go in, I'm fine, blah, 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 right? So, and I thought too, what would happen, right? If all of a sudden I just pass out too, it's like, oh my gosh, are they going to have enough staff in here to handle all this? And then how would that be with you? But you got to be in there when the paramedics and the firefighters were in there. And I'm assuming that they sat him up more and they probably like got him going or
he eventually stood.
And then he stood or whatever. But I watched these workers twice in this 20 to 25 minutes raise him. And every time they would try to raise his bed instantaneously, he was getting nauseous and they'd lay him back down. And I'm like, okay, it was such a puzzle. How do you call the ambulance for this man who literally was pale white the entire time, and then he ends up walking out on his own, and they did not do anything else different to him?
Well, here's the deal. Dude was not faking it.
Well, I'm not saying he was faking it.
Because
he was
we're clear with our peeps out there, he was not faking it because his blood pressure... I've never heard of blood pressure being
this
low.
Yeah, it was low. It was like 70 over 30.
I mean,
it was low.
A dead body has lower blood pressure.
And his pulse was really low.
Yeah, and so he was hurting, the poor guy. And so
But what happens in your brain? That's kind of like the puzzle too. What happens in your brain? I mean, if that were me and they're saying, "Hey man, we're going to have to call the ambulance." Mm-hmm. I don't want to go in an ambulance, right?
No, cuz that is a wake-up call.
It was an amazing wake-up call. All of a sudden it's like the brain starts firing and it's
You know what I think? I would think if they were like David Mabry, we have to call the ambulance, and I'm sitting there like nauseous and everything, I would be like, okay, you're going to get up because how much is this ambulance going to cost?
And that's probably what went through that guy's mind, right?
Very real question. I think I start going through my deductible. What's my deductible?
I know. And I truly think that that's what the catalyst was when he found that out. It was like that. He just started firing. Now, I do hope that somebody followed the man home, and maybe they did. Maybe he didn't live too far away, and they could just follow him home, because I would have hated to find out like that he passed out in his car. You know what I mean? Like that would be awful. So anyway, good Lord.
So there's your puzzle.
That's a puzzle. You just heard Teresa just kind of go on a little bit of a rant there and just like, woo.
This is what I live with, my friends. These are the puzzles that I receive from my wife, which is absolutely fine. That's the idea. You all have received what I typically get, and that is inside the brain of Teresa Mabry, ladies and gentlemen. And much like
no radio, brain, no soft radio voice going on with that story. That was all in. That was all in.
Teresa was all in. Okay, so
puzzles over.
Puzzles over. So here's a question to start our topic off.
Let's go.
For Family of Origin. And we did a great job going Family of Origin because of talking about when the dog bites, when the bee stings.
When I'm feeling sad.
Thank you, Teresa Mabry. But what do you, this is a question I have for you, and then maybe I'll circle back as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about the marriage of your parents?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. So my parents had a good marriage. I do remember that.
Yeah.
My parents were married about, was it 32 years? 1964. Yeah, 32 years.
Yep.
And then my dad passed away.
Yep.
My mom is still alive. Mm-hmm. So...
which we'll tell that story of your dad's passing one day on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was impactful.
Yeah.
But your parents' marriage.
So in that 32 years, I feel like I watched a very good marriage, mm-hmm. very connected marriage, very loving marriage. You and I was, you know, once I went to college, I was out of the house a little bit more. I was home for summers and stuff. And then you and I got married at the end of, you know, a year after I graduated, I guess, or whatever. So, mm-hmm. you know, those last few years, I was watching them from that kind of young adult perspective mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, they had fun together.
Mm-hmm.
They could laugh together. They connected on so many different levels.
A lot of compatibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of compatibility. However, they both were still independent.
Yeah.
You know, they both still had things that they did on their own or what they were involved with on their own, but they supported each other in those endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Never felt like I never had the type of parents that kind of like somebody sat at home waiting on the other one to come,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Type of thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like our family, I mean, you know, Eric and I, my brother, Eric and I, we knew that we were loved
mm-hmm.
and they poured into us as parents, mm-hmm. As well. And we really did have a strong, nucleus.
Yeah. And it's just of note, for folks here, like many parents, especially of that generation, they lived in Ohio. You were raised up in Ohio, but
yeah.
your parents grew up near one another in Kentucky.
Yes.
And so they were transplanted to Ohio for
jobs.
So they were from the same mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
And so they had a lot of the same background, family backgrounds, very similar.
Same roots.
Yeah, that's right. And so
they didn't know each other though until college age.
Yeah, they met.
So it's not like they grew up together. They met in college
mm-hmm.
and then they transplanted to Ohio for jobs because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that's where the jobs were.
And so that really shaped to your household is because there was a lot of what you said, compatibility
mm-hmm.
with one another. And that's a lot because their origin story was similar enough as well. So there wasn't a lot of differences
that's true.
So they understood, stood one another. Plus, they both were educated as educators, and so they're both school teachers.
They were school teachers.
And so that's thinking about like your household and the compatibility that went on, and you had a pretty peaceful, functional household. Don't remember them, a lot of fighting or whatever, right?
No, not fighting. There were stern discussions
mm-hmm. yeah.
and there were disagreements over things, but nothing that didn't get talked through and worked
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
And when there were those, like, you know, it was a small house. There wasn't a lot of places to go, but
mm-hmm.
definitely we were relegated to the living room and mm-hmm. to our bedrooms because usually the kitchen began, I don't know what it was about the kitchen, but the kitchen was the stern discussion room or whatever. I don't know what you would say, but like...
the stern discussion room.
Yeah. And so, but that was where they were, because they each presented like probably their side of the of the argument or their disagreement. Each presented their opinion and then it worked out. But like never, I never went to bed feeling like my parents were on the brink of a divorce or something.
Yeah.
You know, because kids, I think kids just, they internalize so much, right? And as soon as they hear some arguing or shouting or whatever, I never had the shouting. There, I definitely knew that there was a disagreement. Something of magnitude was going on, but it was resolved, and there was peace and there was security in that.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, so probably the benefit of us both sharing our origin stories here is that I think probably there are folks. Some of our one other couples out there will be able to relate to either your upbringing or mine. And so mine was pretty dysfunctional. I remember my parents though, I think were married 27 years.
Yeah.
They were married many, they weren't divorced. They were divorced eventually. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s. So
you were 25.
Yeah. So I think
25.
So maybe 28 years or something, but they were married multiple years, but my memory is much of their marriage was in conflict. There was a struggle and there was a difference in my parents' personalities. And, and so it was a lot of conflict growing up and a lot of dysfunction, struggles in the household. Yeah. And so, my memories, although there were some, you know, pockets of happy memories, it's not like it was miserable constantly. 'Cause I know some folks have just a lot of abuse one way or another. And there wasn't that physical or sexual abuse going on. It was, but the dysfunction was strong and very real. But there are pockets of, you know, playing games together or a few trips or vacations that I remember. And of course, there was the influence, which you had this as well, the influence of being at grandparents' house, which kind of offered a bit of a balance. And
one set of your grandparents.
Yeah, one set of grandparents. And which offered a little bit of a balance to some of the struggle growing up in that household.
Offered balance. Are you saying that that also offered some perspective for that parent of yours as you saw?
Yeah, which is interesting.
That family of origin, where they came from, to maybe like go, okay, I could see how there's some impact here.
It is interesting to consider like the marriage of my grandparents on my mom's side.
Right.
And what, at least what I observed. We, as children, though, it's so difficult to capture fully. And it is a child's perspective and growing up. And so what I saw from my grandparents on my mom's side, their marriage seemed to be, I mean, they were married over 50 years and it was seemed to be happy. They connected well. They laughed together. They had friends and played games, played a lot of cards, you know, so forth and so on. And so there was that. So that balance of seeing a marriage intact long term, right? So my dad remarried, and so, but as an adult, I wasn't able to observe that.
Right, we were
tremendous. I mean, we were out.
We already had Alex. Well, we had Taylor too. Mm-hmm. We had Alex and Taylor, and then your dad remarried. Mm-hmm. So we were already out, established, and we actually lived a distance away at that time.
Yeah. So I have to say this is that before, just the fuller answer for me is I do have distinct memories of my parents connecting one to another in there was peace, right? And whether I saw them smooch in the kitchen or, you know, having this conversation, but I do have moments where there was like you shared, that was not present in your house, where there was a lot of shouting and fighting, mm-hmm. and laying it where I've been laying in bed and hearing the yelling downstairs, right. kind of thing. So, right. So that some of that dysfunction from right. the family of origin. So we can really relate to, we together can relate to what functional and dysfunctional looks like, mm-hmm. and how that impacts, marriage and how it impacts, going forward. Now, for me, there was a conscious choice in saying, okay, I looked at my parents' marriage and I said, I know that's not what I want. And trying to make a conscious effort at making things different. And that's part of the larger story.
Right.
And for you, did you look at your parents and think, hey, you know, did you think about what kind of marriage you wanted going forward? Did that cross your mind?
Well, sure. I wanted to have a happy marriage and within my parents' families of origin, I had some aunts and uncles who had experienced divorce. And so I had seen that. I knew what that looked like, mm-hmm. as a kid and as growing up and watching those cousins affected by that and different things. So I definitely knew I wanted a happy marriage. I mean, I also knew that because I'm a Christian, I wanted to marry a man who was also a Christian, because I knew that that would not be, that wouldn't produce mm-hmm. good fruit either. I had seen that happen within my church home, where one spouse wasn't, and mm-hmm. that never seemed to always jive on all levels. Mm-hmm. I had ambitions of having a long lasting healthy marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the path. What do you think?
I think
we're on the path.
So far, so good.
Okay. All right. Good.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I think you're going to make it, kid. So, what we want to encourage folks out there as we walk through this topic is those questions that we just asked one another. We would encourage you to discuss with one, if you sure. have not already, and that is ask about and get to know family of origin. And you may have done this already if you have been married for a while or for any amount of time, but if you're listening to this and you're dating, or you are not married yet, or you're newly married,
or you truly don't know much about, and no matter how long you've been together, if mm-hmm. you don't know a whole lot about your partner's family of origin, you better get with it.
Yeah, these are great questions.
This impacts everything. Like we said, fooey.
Mm-hmm. It does. And so the encouragement is to ask the questions of, what do you remember about the marriage of your parents? Another couple things that we would encourage is to create a family tree or a genogram. And this is something, of course, we don't have a tremendous amount of time to unpack here, but a genogram, or a family tree is like laying out on even a piece of paper, like put yourself and your spouse, and then you're going to draw lines up to your parents and put their relationship, and then your children put their relationship with you, and then you're drawing out, basically draw your family tree up to your grandparents. And rate all those relationships, and even put a coding system for, like, okay, this was a good relationship. There was either addiction or abuse, or this was happy, or there was laughter, or whatever. So you would include if there was a spiritual background, is there faith present, and so you would basically fill in and evaluate and look at and your entire family tree or your family relationship. An entire family tree meaning that you're not going back like 10 generations,
right.
kind of thing. You're basically going back to
We're not ancestry.com here.
That's right. We're not.
Okay.
So you're going to, like, grandparents, your parents,
yeah.
yourself, your children, if you have them.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you lay that out and then turn to your spouse. Both of you have done this, and turn to your spouse and walk through and talk about some of that history. And the idea with this tool is to really look under with a microscope, do a deep dive to kind of have a deeper understanding, and then also help your partner to have a deeper understanding of your family background. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. What it'll reveal are some important things about family of origin and how it impacts everything within your present relationship. But there are some key questions that have to be asked coming out of this, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And just a little plug as well, we do have a YouTube video on the Genogram.
Yeah, go to
YouTube. So you could go to our YouTube video, watch that. You can also just Google Genogram. A lot of things will pop up if you're just kind of like, hey, I'm more of a visual person. I need to see it. So yeah, that's a great way. Okay.
That's a good, that's a very good suggestion. Go to our other resources. And you can unpack this a little bit more. And actually, we model it for you there.
Yep, we do. We put ours on the big post-it notes. So as for some other questions, like you just said, we always, when we're coaching our couples, we also talk about family of origin, because when couples come in and they're really like, well, you know, this is a struggle, or this, you know, I really enjoy this. A lot of times when we get to that part of the assessment, it's usually something to do with a family of origin response, right? Because we just, that's who influences us. I mean, think about it, folks. That is your primary influence for almost 17, 18 years, right? And then you launch out usually, sometimes a little bit longer, whatever. But one key question is, what from your family of origin would you like to repeat? So those are those positive things that come along, right? And so when you have couples coming in together, we're talking, you know, like making sure that you've discussed how you celebrated holidays, how you celebrated birthdays, or if you did. I mean, what if you didn't? That's okay. Mm-hmm. Or what if it was just very minimal? But what if you marry someone who their family of origin, birthdays were like a really big deal, and then now you guys are married and you don't quite hit the nail on the head as your spouse is like, that's it, you know, or whatever. And you're like, what? We got a card and we're having a treat or a dessert, you know. But so families of origin can have a positive impact on, you know, celebratory things and stuff like that. But you got to communicate about if that's something you want to repeat.
It was a very real couple situation where the wife was an only child within her family, and birthdays every year were like, as the husband said,
obviously,
as the husband said, they were a national holiday, her birthdays. And then the husband, he came from a blended family of five children, and he was the middle child.
Right.
And when asked, he said, well, the question was, how were birthdays celebrated in your house? And he said, well, they were noted, right. And so can you, as Teresa just unpacked for us, can you imagine that marriage coming together, right? And she's so excited about her birthday coming up,
right?
And he just kind of gives a card and notes,
right. Noted,
thus
it.
Noted,
thus
hey,
noted,
your birthday's noted, right. And then when his birthday, and by the way, she's extroverted, he's introverted,
right?
So she's
that played into it.
She's an extroverted only child who wants her birthday celebrated big time, and then he is a middle child of a blended family who's introverted and
was fine with just the noting,
and would just started to, and then all of a sudden she throws this big surprise party for him, and he's like, I hate this.
Right. And what's going on?
And so family of origin impacts everything. Right. So these are important things to discuss.
So, like, you know, another positive, family meals. Did those occur? Did your family, did you eat your dinners in front of the TV? Was there conversation? Were you specifically at the table? You know, so now you're married. It's the two of you. How are you handling that as well? And then, you know, throw in kids. Now, how are you handling it as well? So, so family meal time in my house, we had dinner together. I mean, like, that's what, we didn't have a TV in the kitchen. The TV wasn't on, the radio wasn't on. We sat down, we talked. We talked about our day. We shared a meal together. And then there was cleanup afterwards. And that was a consistent item in my house.
And we were a TV tray.
Yeah.
You were. family, when we did have meals together.
Right.
I remember early on we had some together. Right. But then as we're getting older, like elementary school into junior high especially, yeah, it was
right
sitting in front of the TV watching whatever.
Yeah. The funny thing is that now that we are empty nesters, we don't sit at the table quite as much. Mm-hmm. We will, but sometimes we do just look at each other and it's like, you know, yeah, you want to go wash something while we eat or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll do that from time to time. But it's just kind of odd because mm-hmm. when the kids were here, as long as the kids were here, now, unless it was like a special mm-hmm. show, something that we all did together as a family, mm-hmm. or if it was like, you know, Saturday night movie night or Friday night movie night, and, you know, we splurged and got pizza, then the object was to watch that eating together in front of the TV, right?
And I feel like for us now, it really is a, like, we need to veg.
We do.
Because we've been going at it pretty hard right. all day with whatever we have going.
Time to,
and we veg eating dinner. But then we usually, when we're done watching at dinner, we turn it off and we're not watching anything for the rest of the evening because we've moved on to something else, being active.
Yeah.
But I think part of it too is you and I, we have a hard time sitting still for long. And so,
Okay. So here's another one that's a positive of what do you wish to repeat? And, this one kind of hit me when I had heard it, the first time was, our products and purchases, right?
Hmm.
So we are heavily influenced. We don't even realize it, but you know, like when we got married, there were certain products, laundry detergent, or maybe even like the make and model of a car that you would purchase. Families have usually set products that they get involved in, right? Or possibly, you know, I don't know, maybe your family grew up and you actually, you know, they dabbled in the stock market and there were stocks and investments, you know, like certain traits like that can be passed on that are positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you think of like a product or purchases that you've seen yourself making over the years that really do relate back to your family of origin?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know, maybe because I didn't pay attention, but I think for me, it came less the products purchased and more of like, which I think this connects, and that is, eating like foods that you choose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for instance, there were certain menu items that you grow up in a household and you're used to. And then when you join together, you're kind of like, where's that item now?
Where's that
thing that I'm used to? And I remember one of our points, I've got, this is a funny story funny now, but when we were when we were first married, I remember we had a disagreement. We had a problem with one another because I was so excited about a recipe and I forget how it goes exactly. All I know is it was painful. And that is, I went to call my grandmother to get the recipe and your feelings were hurt, right?
Yeah, because...
What's your recollection
of that?
I don't
know. I really don't know, but I think we're going off of the thing here.
No, but that's from a family of origin.
It is from a family of origin.
Because my family of origin was, I wanted chocolate chip cookies, I think.
I don't know what
it was. I love chocolate chip cookies, and I wanted them the way my grandmother made them.
Right.
And...
I wasn't against you calling your grandmother for that. No, there was a recipe that I had made, I think it was. It wasn't chocolate chip cookies. I feel like it was something like macaroni salad or something.
Oh.
It was kind of weird. It was... I think it was based upon the mayonnaise.
Oh.
And you wanted to call your grandmother to get her specific what she would do or what she would use.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was going to become a comparison. Like mine wasn't going to be good enough. Why would you need to call your grandma? And your grandma doesn't need to know that I'm using this kind, right? Which then also goes back to family of origin.
That's right.
My family of origin, Miracle Whip.
Mayonnaise. But my mom hates mayonnaise as always, but we had it in the house.
But there are other people that it was Hellman's.
Yes, Hellman's.
And there was a
distinct Hellman's family
difference.
Yeah.
And I believe that was what it really boiled down to, was your distinct difference of what you felt was an appropriate mayonnaise choice.
That is a fabulous family of origin story. That's a fooey story.
So
right,
what
there
are some of those? Okay, so because we need to get going here, what next question would be, what would you want to discontinue? So we want you to think about, what do you want to continue? Positives, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want to discontinue? What are those negative things that come from family of origin? Now, some of these can be an obvious one, like David already alluded to earlier, like abuse or addictions. Mm-hmm. What about tempers? Mm-hmm. You know, shouting matches. There could be just disconnect. Mm-hmm. What about that, right? Like, what about parents who really just aren't involved? You know, and what if you, as a child, you're growing up in that and you remember that, right? And it's like, but you have a friend who their parents seem to be involved with them in everything, or show an interest, take an interest, right? So what are some of those things that you want to discontinue? And I feel like that's what you did a good job of, is you hit a certain age and you turned your path, you made an about face.
Yeah,
and made a clear direction that you wanted to go as a husband and as a father, and you've done that. You've done a great job at that.
I was just talking to an individual today. They just asked, "Hey, so what are you doing with your day?" And I said, "Well, my wife and I do marriage work, and we're gonna record our podcast today." And I explained family of origin, and she perked right up and she said, "I tell you what, that's absolutely right. I've been married 22 years," she said, "and my husband and I have a great relationship, but both of us would not want to repeat anything from our original families, and we made a conscious choice to be different." And I loved hearing that, and that's be my story as well.
Right.
I really wanted a different marriage, a different parenting style than what I had and growing up, and that conscious effort. So I love those questions, and that's what we really want. If there's anything you take away from this podcast, it's going to be the two questions that Teresa threw out there, the two primary questions: what do you wish to repeat, and what do you want to discontinue from your family of origin?
And then what you just led into there about, you know, if you do have children, you are influencing their family as well, of future family. So dad step up, mom step up.
That's right. And so I'm telling you what, if there's anything, and this is an appropriate kind of ending and exclamation point for me for this podcast, and that's encouragement. If I tell you what, friends, step up as a mom and a dad in your marriage. Do something to make your marriage as healthy as possible. If you're struggling in your marriage, work at your marriage. It is worth it. It is worth it. And push through. And here's the thing. Marriage is not easy at all times. It has its challenges. And it's embrace the challenges. Embrace the fact that it's going to be a challenge. But get better. Do what you can. A question that to ask in this case would be, what kind of marriage do you want your children to have? And that's the kind of marriage you want to model for them now.
And how do you want your children to answer those questions when they are out of the house?
Let's say your children are listening to this podcast or one like it.
Right.
Years from now. What do you want them going through their mind of like, okay, you know what? This is what I want to repeat and this is what I don't want to repeat. And so set that example now. And we know you can do it. Right. We know you can do it. So that leads us to the verse of the week. This is how we kind of want to wrap up every week, is give a verse for the week. And Teresa, you have one for us?
I do. So it is out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
What an appropriate verse for today and setting that example. We really appreciate you joining us this week, and we want to encourage you, first, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform that you're using, and we ask that you'll rate the podcast and review it, write a review. You know, especially iTunes really loves that. It helps it move it up in the searches, and we really, once again, we say this over and over again, it's not about making David and Teresa famous. It's about helping as many couples as possible, strengthening marriage so they can have greater satisfaction, greater fulfillment, and impact on the world around them. So you can also connect with us through our website at oneanothermarriage.com. You can find us at YouTube at One Another Marriage and Facebook One Another Marriage there as well. We go live every Thursday night at 8 o'clock on Facebook Live if you want to see our beautiful faces and not just hear our beautiful voices. Right. And so we want to invite you to participate with us and share with others.
Right. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us. And the next time you join us, we will be talking about stress, and we will specifically talk about our stress animals.
Stress is present in every relationship, and that's what we're going to unpack next week. Thank you for joining us.
Bye now.
Bye.